B'siyata Dishmaya, we're going to learn Sukkah Daf Nun Hey. We're going to start 7 lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Dalad Omud Beis. And this is going to take us back to Daf Nun Dalad Omud Aleph. In the middle of the Omud, the Gemara said that Rav Acha Bar Chanina Midroimo. Ki also Rav Acha Bar Chanina Midroimo, when Rav Acha came from the south, Aisa Masnita Biyode, he brought a Braisa with him. And the Braisa learnt out from a Pasuk of Nei Arin Akianim Yisku'u Bachatzitzreis. And Shein Talmud Loi Ma'yisku Shekvar Nemar Uskatim Bachatzitzreis Alu Liseichem Valzivchei Shalmeichem Uma Talmud Loi Ma'yisku. The Braisa asked the question: why does it have to say twice that the Kohanim would blow with their trumpets regarding the Musaf when they would bring the Korban Musaf? So Hakol Lefi Hamusaf in Toikim. That was the words of the Braisa, that they would the blowing of the trumpets, the tkiyah teruah tkiyah of the trumpets, was lefi hamusafim, according to the musaf. And we don't really know what those words mean. And who tonila? It was Rav Acha who brought this braisa. Vehu omar lo, and he explained it, that lo yimar shetoikin al kol musaf musaf, which means that every time you have a musaf, if you have a one day two musafim, for example Shabbos and Shchedesh, or Shabbos and Shchedesh Rosh Hashanah, or Shabbos and Yom Tov, whenever there's two musafim, then they would say the shir, the song, when they would pour the wine onto the Mizbeach, there would be a shir for each of the musafim, and then they would blow the three times tkiyah through a tkiyah, the nine sounds from the trumpets. That was how Rav Acha explained it. And we saw in Daf Nun Dalad in the previous Daf what the ramifications of that were in the previous sugya. May say the Gemara is now going to question what Rav Acha said. That you, Rav Acha, said that when there's two korbanos of Musaf, you say shir in both of them, and you blow the trumpets in both of them. May say, it says in the Braisa, Rosh Chodesh Shechol Liyos B'Shabbos. If it happens to be that Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh fall on the same day, Shil Shir Shel Rosh Chodesh Doicha Shir Shel Shabbos. That the song of the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh overrides and, so to speak, rejects, pushes away the shir of the Shabbos Musaf. V'yi Isa, according to Rav Acha, Leima de Shabbos v'Leima de Rosh Chodesh. Then you have two Musafim and you have a shir on both of them. What does it mean that one gets pushed away from the other? So it seems from the Braisa that you only ever say one shir and then you only blow the trumpet once for one of the Korbanis, not both, as Rav Acha suggested. Omer of Safra. Rav Safra said, no, my doicha, when it says in the Braisa that the shir of Rosh Chodesh is doicha, it pushes away the shir of Shabbos, it doesn't mean it pushes away altogether. It means doicha lekadim. It pushes its way forward to be first. That the shir that is going to be said first is the shir of the Rosh Chodesh before the shir of Shabbos. Asks the Gemara of Amai, why should that be true? Todir v'she'enu todir, todir koidim. We have a rule that says that anything that when you have two mitzvahs to do, and one of them is done more often than the other, then the one that's done more often gets precedence, is more important. Here too, Shabbos is much more often than Rosh Chodesh. And so why do we say the shir of Rosh Chodesh before the shir of Shabbos? Omer Rav Yechanon says, I'll tell you why. It was very important that people knew with absolute certainty that the Beis Din had determined when Rosh Chodesh was, and nobody should have any doubts. This is when Rosh Chodesh is, and therefore on Rosh Chodesh they would do something to bring out the importance of the Rosh Chodesh, the concept of Rosh Chodesh, and the Korban of Rosh Chodesh. It would be the Shir would be before that of Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, V'hai Hakira of Dinon? We understand and appreciate that you need to make a recognition and do something that people should know it's Rosh Chodesh, something to bring out the importance of Rosh Chodesh. But was this the sign that they did, that the shir of Rosh Chodesh was before that of Shabbos? Ho Hakira Achrita of Dinon? Well, we see in the Mishnah that they did a different Heker, a different sign. They did something else that people would be able to tell that it was Rosh Chodesh. The Tanya we learnt in the Mishnah. And here, this takes us back to Sugis elsewhere in Shas, where after they would cut, they would shech the korban, they would cut it into the relevant pieces, and whichever, depending on which korban it was, how many kernim would take share in taking the limbs of the korban and putting it onto the ramp. later on, there would be the next stage would be to take the limbs from the ramp up to the top of the Mizbeach and put it onto the fire. So where would they position these limbs? So the Mishnah says as follows, Chelvei Tomit Shel Shachar, the Chalovim, and it's not only the fats, Chelv means fats, but it means all the parts of the Korban Tomit Shel Shachar, Nitnim, they are put Mechetzi Kevesh Ulamato, on the lower half of the ramp, B'Mizrach, but the ramp, well, had considerable width to it, and it was 16 amos wide, and they would put it onto the side that was closer to the Mizrach, closer to the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. V'shel Musafin, whenever there was a Musaf, they would put the limbs of the Musaf in order that they shouldn't get confused. It's very important to know which were the limbs of the Korban Tomid and which were the limbs of the Korban Musaf, because the limbs of the Korban Tomid must be put on the Mizbeach first. We learn from Psukim that nothing's allowed to go onto the Mizbeach before the Korban Tomid. So not to get confused, they would put the limbs of the Musaf in on the other side, because sometimes they were not yet ready to put the limbs of the Tomid onto the Mizbeach, onto the fire, before the limbs of the Musaf was ready. So the Musaf, what they would do is they would nitne mechatzi kevesh ulemato, they would also put it on the lower half of the ramp, but b'mayrev, closer to the Heichal, more towards the Mayrev. V'shal Rosh Chodesh, but the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh was different to all other Musafin. That was put nitnim tachas karkoiv ha-mizbeach ulemato. The karkoiv was 6 amos off the ground of the Mizbeach, and the whole Mizbeach was 9 amos high, not including the horns, the corners sticking up at the top. So you've got that the karkoiv was 2/3 off the ground, which means that the level just below the line of 2/3 of the ramp, between there, and it was higher up than the other limbs, because the other limbs had to be on the lower half of the ramp. Here it could be put just below the 2/3 up the ramp mark, which is higher than the Tomid and was normally put, and higher than where the other Musafim were put. So, because the Karakov is 2/3 up the Mizbeach, and that's what they do. Rabbi Yechonon said, Leida shehu kvar shchodesh bizmanri. The reason that they would put these limbs higher up than any other korban is in order to show the chashivas, the importance, and everybody should know and be aware that it's Rosh Chodesh, and that Rosh Chodesh was fixed on its time, and everybody should be certain about that. So the question is, why do you say that they made a sign that it's Rosh Chodesh from the fact that the Shir of Rosh Chodesh was before the Shir of Shabbos? Here we see a different sign. Answers the Gemara, Trei Hakeira of Dinon, they would make two signs, to Chozi Hai Chozi, V'Chozi Bahai Chozi. Some people would see this one. Some people would notice that the Shir of the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh was before that of Shabbos, and others would notice that the position on the ramp was a higher up position, and that's how they would know when it was Rosh Chodesh. Continues the Gemara, Meisvei, the Tana Rabbah Bar Shmuel. Yochel, I may have thought, Kashem Shetoykin al Shabbos Bifne Atzmoy, Val Rosh Chodesh Bifne Atzmoy, Kach Yu Toykin al Kol Musaf Musaf. I may have thought that in the same way as on any Shabbos, one blows the trumpets when one brings the Musaf of Shabbos, and on any Rosh Chodesh, one blows the trumpets when they would bring the Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. So what would be, Kach Yu Toykin al Kol Musaf Musaf? I would have thought that so too, when the two fall together, when it's Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh on the same day, that one blows the trumpet also when the Musaf of Shabbos is brought, and also when the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh is brought. Talmud Leimah says in the Pasuk, Uvaroshei Chodsheichem, referring to the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, it speaks about the Roshei Chodsheichem, and from the words of Roshei Chodsheichem, it's clear that that's not the case, and one only ever says or blows the trumpets with one of the Musafim, not on both. We don't know exactly how to learn it from the words of Rosh Chodesh, and we'll see that soon. But either way, you see in this brisa clearly, they would not say the shir of both Musafim, they would not blow the trumpets with both Musafim. Tiufta de Rav Acha, Tiufta, this is a refutation of what Rav Acha said. Rav Acha said on Dafnun Dalad Omid Aleph, that we mentioned before, that when there's two Musafin, then one blows the trumpets on both of them. Here you see clearly that not. My Talmudah, The Gemara is asking, that where do you see from the words of Rosh Chodsheichem that one does not blow the trumpets on both Musafin? Says Umachlikas, Omar Abaya, Omar Kro, Rosh Chodsheichem, from the fact that the Pasuk puts together Rosh Chodsheichem, referring to all the Rosh Chodeshes, that they're all the same. Hukshu Kola Chodoshim, Kulam Zelaze, all of the Rosh Chodesh are the same. And in the same way as on any typical Rosh Chodesh, one only blows the trumpets once, so too when it's Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos, you only blow the trumpets once and not twice. Ravashi Omer, Ravashi learns it a bit differently. Ravashi says that Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Chod Sheichem, even though it's expressed, the way we say it is Chod Sheichem in plural, but it's actually written Chod Shechem as without the Yud, it's written in single tense. Uchsiv, and it says Uvaroshei. Roshei is the heads of the month, the beginnings of the month, which is a plural tense. So what Rosh Chodesh could be talking about that a single month is a Roshei? Veize Chodesh yesh lo shtei Roshim, shnei Roshim. Where do we find a month which is two heads? Havoim is a Rosh Hashanah. It's Rosh Hashanah, which is also Rosh Chodesh Tishri, and also the Rosh of the head of the whole year. V'omar Rachmona, and the Torah says that the Roshei, this day of Rosh Hashanah, Chod Sheichem, written in single tense, Chadhu. So you see that even though on Rosh Hashanah you've got more than one Musaf, view it as just one, and you only do the trumpets once. And this is the source that the Braisa brought, that one does not say, blow the trumpets, I'll call Musaf a Musaf, and that's the refutation against Reb Acha. Continues the Gemara of Oy Tanya, another Braisa that's also going to serve as a refutation against Reb Acha. B'choy lo yishel moed. We're talking here about the Choyl HaMoed of Sukkos. And this is talking now primarily about Eretz Yisrael, where Sukkos is 7 days, the first day is Yom Tov, and there is 6 days of Chol HaMoed, the last day happens to be Hoshana Rabbah. So the question is, what song did they sing when they would bring the Musaf on the days of Chol HaMoed on Sukkos? So Barishoin, on the first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos, Maho Yoimrim, what did they say when they brought the Musaf? What song did they sing? Then they would say the Pasuk, they would say the Perek of Tehillim, Perek Choftes, where the Tehillim speaks, is the Pasuk of Havu Lashem Bnei Elim. And that is the whole Perek of Tehillim is speaking about Havu Lashem Kovoid Va'oiz, and this honor and oiz is the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva. The Pasuk mentions, the Perek mentions Koil Hashem Al HaMoyim, which is alluding to the Nisuch HaMayim, and since the first day of Chol HaMoed is the first day that they did the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva, as we've learned previously, therefore this is an appropriate Perek to say on the second day of Sukkos, on the first day of Chol HaMoed, is the Perek that discusses the Kovid Va'oiz, the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva, and the Mayim. Basheni, on the second day of Chol HaMoed, the third day of Sukkos, what would they say? They would say the Perek of Tehillim, Perek Nun, where it says, Ulurosha Omar Elikim. And this is a whole Perek which is warning Klal Yisrael and saying to them, why are you coming to the Azorah? Why are you coming to the Beis HaMikdosh to be happy with the Yom Tov and to be close to Hashem if you're not doing tshuva? Make sure that when you come to the Beis HaMikdosh, you're engaged in tshuva. And in that perek also, it speaks about bringing korbonos, because we know that when a person pledges to bring a korban, he has to bring it before an explicit time, and if not, he's transgressed the issa of bal ta'achir, and the end, the last time to bring the korbonos is the yontiv of Sukkos. So here's reminding people, if you need to bring a korban, if you've pledged to bring a korban, make sure you bring it now before Sukkos is over. But Shlishi, Maho Yoimrim, what would they say on the third day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos? They would say Perek Tehillim, Perek Tzadik Dalad, the second half of the Perek, which contains Miyokum Li Im Mareim. And this is the part of the Perek that is very much speaking to Klal Yisrael, that in spite of the fact that, or Klal Yisrael expressing that in spite of the fact that in the second Beis HaMikdash they had a tremendous amount of challenges with all the kings that were on top of them, the Malchi Poras, Malchi Yovan, Malchi Roimi, and nonetheless they put all their sorrows and challenges aside to come to be happy and joyous with Hashem, with the Beis HaMikdash, and they were daven to Hashem that Hashem should override all those that are challenging them. And that is this perek of the second half of Perek Tzadik Dalet. Bervi Maho Yoimrim, on the fourth day of Chol HaMoed, what would they say? They would say the first half of Perek Tzadik Dalet, which contained Binu Boyarim Ba'om, which is, since it's coming towards the end of Sukkos, and Sukkos was the harvest time, the time where people, because of the harvest, they would have the maestros to give to the Aniyim, the Matnois Aniyim, and in order to make sure, even though people, the public, don't know whether you're taking your maestros properly, but Hashem is telling them, it's coming to the end of Yom Tov, I, Hashem, know exactly what's going on, make sure that you've given everything that you need to give to the poor people. What would they say on the fifth day of Chol HaMoed? They would say the Perek Tehillim Pei Aleph Hasiroisi Mesevel Shechmoy. And this is comforting Klal Yisrael, telling them that if you're deserving, then on this Yom Tov of Sukkos, where you're all judged Alamayim for the water, then, and everybody's davening for the water, then Emir Tzashem, you're going to get the water and you'll have plenty, you'll have a good year, and a year of growth, and the fields will grow, and everything will work well for him. B'shishi mohu yoimrim, what would they say on the sixth day of Chol HaMoed, which is Hoshana Rabbah? They would say the pasuk of Tehillim Pei Beis, Yimoitu Kol Moistei Oretz. And this too is warning Klal Yisrael on the last day of Sukkos, make sure you give the poor people all the matnois aniyim that they deserve and that you owe them. And if one of the days of Chol HaMoed are Shabbos, then Yimoitu Yitche. And so you see here clearly that if Shabbos is in the middle of Chol HaMoed, you don't say two prokim by the Musaf, also the song of Shabbos, and also the song of that day of Chol HaMoed. No, you only say Shabbos, and the next day you go back to the perek that you missed out, and then everything gets pushed one forward, and it comes to the seventh day, you have to say the perek that's designated for the sixth day, and the one that would have been on the seventh day, Yimoitu Kol Moistei Oretz, that just gets left to the side and doesn't get said. So you see here clearly that you don't say both two shirim, two songs on the same day. So Rav Safra Monach Buhu Simona, Rav Safra gave a sign. How are you going to remember the order of these prokim? Humbahi, Havu is the hey, the Vav of Ularasha, the Mem of Miyokum, the base of Binu Boyarim, the hey of Hasiraisi, and the Yud of Yimoitu. Rav Papa Monach Buhu Simna, Rav Papa actually changed the hey and the base. He switched round the Binu Boyarim with the Hasiraisi Mesevel, that on the fifth day he would say the Binu Boyarim, and on the fourth day he would say Hasiraisi, and therefore his sign was Hum Havi V'simonoch. How are you going to remember which simon Rav Safra said? Because there's a concept called Ambuha de Safri, which is the group of people that would go with the teachers, with the children. It's called, there's a concept of Ambuha de Safri. So this word means the Safri. The Safri means the teachers. But it's alluding to Rev Safra. The Rev Safra, the sign he used, was one that sounds similar to Ambuha. And indeed, that was of Safra Simon, Humbahi. But what do we see from here? That the Shir of Shabbos is not said together with the Shir of the Chol HaMoed. Tiyuvta de Rav Acha bar Chanina, Tiyuvta. This is another refutation against Rav Acha. Asks the Gemara of Harav Acha bar Chanina, Kra umasnitikoma. We saw in Dafnun Dalid, Omadalif, that Rav Acha actually brought in a Braisa, he brought a Pasuk that we learn out from the Psukim, that each Korban, when there's two Korbonis, that you say the Shir twice, and you blow the trumpets for both. Omer Ravina, Ravina said as follows, and this takes us back to what we started with. Rav Acha just brought the Braisa. The Braisa brought the Psukim, it says Yisku b'chatzotzeres, it's not necessary. So from there you see that Lefi Hakoil Lefi Amusofin Toikim, that's all it says in the Braisa, that you blow the trumpets according to the Musofin. It was Rav Acha who understood that it means that when you have two Musofin, you blow twice as many, you blow the trumpet twice. Says Ravina, no. What the Braisa means, it means, and which is what you learn from the extra words in the Pasuk, loyma shemarichin bitkiyos. And that means that they would only say one shir, and they would only blow the trumpets once, as we just proved, not like Rav Acha said. But because they're pouring the wine of two musafin, they would have to draw out the tkiyas and just do it all much longer in order to, because they're pouring twice as much wine. But that means this braisa is just telling us about how long the tkiyas should be, not how many times you do the tkiyas. Rabbonon de kisri mishmeder of Acha Omri, loymar shemarbe betoikin. That what the braisa is telling us, and the braisa deduces from the pasuk that hakolif yamusafin toikin, what it's teaching us is not how long the tkiyas are, not how many sets of tkiyas, as Rav Acha said on Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, rather how many people are blowing. When there's two musafin, they would bring more people to blow the same trumpet. They would blow trumpets the same time. There would just wouldn't be one person blowing a tkiya. There would be more people blowing a tkiya. The more musafim, if there's more musafim, there's more people who are blowing trumpets. So says the Gemara, now that we've discussed what they did in the Beis HaMikdash on Chol HaMoed, and that you have the song of Chol HaMoed and the song of Shabbos, and when they meet each other, then you override the Chol HaMoed song to say the song of Shabbos. So now we have a similar issue that we have to deal with, and that is in Chutz Loretz. See, in Eretz Yisrael, it's very straightforward. What do we say in the Tefillah? On the first day, we say the Korbanos of the first day, and the second day we mention, in the Musaf, we mention the Korbanos of the second day, because on Sukkot, the Korbanos of each day are different. We're going to learn more about that soon. But so every day in Musaf, you mention the Korbanos of that day. In Chutz Loretz, however, where there's a suffix, the way that they run their Yomim Tovim is that there's always a suffix. There was a time that there was actually a suffix. There's a time that it's not actually a suffix. It's just because to remember that there was a suffix. We're going to learn about that in Maseches Beitzim, Yitz Hashem, that they would have 2 days Yom Tov. So first day Sukkot is first day Yom Tov. Second day Sukkot in Chutz Loretz is also Yom Tov. And that means it's a suffix. It could be that the second day Yom Tov is really the first day Yom Tov. And since both of those first 2 days are Yom Tovim, there's no way in the world you can say the Korban of the second day, of Yom HaSheni. Because everybody agrees that were it the second day, then of course it's not a Yom Tov. The problem is in Chutz Loretz, we don't know, is the first day the first day, or is the second day the first day? And therefore, we have Yom Tov on both days. So on Yom Tov, you definitely only say, on both days, you only say the Korban of the first day of Yom Tov. Now it comes to the first day of Chol HaMoed in Chutz Loretz, which is the second day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael. And what do we do now? On the one hand, it might be the second day of Yom Tov. It might be the second day of Sukkot. It might be the first day of Chol HaMoed, which is we would say the Korban of Bayom HaSheni. On the other hand, it could be that the second day Yom Tov was Bayom HaSheni, and now it's Bayom HaShlishi. So what do we do now? Do we push everything forward? There's 3 ways of doing this. Either in Chutz Loretz, it comes to first day Chol HaMoed, you have to say B'yom HaSheni. You haven't said B'yom HaSheni on the second day of Yom Tov. You couldn't say B'yom HaSheni because it's Yom Tov, and Yom HaSheni is a Chol HaMoed concept. So first day Chol HaMoed, you say Yom HaSheni. Second day Chol HaMoed, you say Yom HaShlishi. If you keep doing that, you're going to come to the last day of Chol HaMoed on Ishanu Rabbah. You're going to say B'yom HaShishi. What's going to happen with B'yom HaShvi? Nothing. You're just not going to say it. There's going to be no day to say it on. And this reminds us a little bit of what we saw before, that Yimoytu Kol Moiste Oretz just gets left aside. That's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it would be that Bayom HaSheni gets left to the side. It's now the third day, so to speak, of Sukkot. It's the first day of Chol HaMoed, but it's the third day of Sukkot. So you say Bayom HaShlishi. And the next day of Chol HaMoed, you say Bayom HaRevi, and that's more or less exactly what they do in Eretz Yisrael on those days. And just B'yom HaSheni got left behind. And you just can't say it. You can't say B'yom HaSheni because on the second day of Sukkot, it was Yom Tov. We had to act as if it was Yom Tov because it's second day of Yom Tov in Chutz Loretz. That's another way of doing it. The third way of doing it is that every day you say both. That means on the first day of Chol HaMoed in Chutz Loretz, you say also B'yom HaSheni also by Yom HaShlishi. On the next day of Chol HaMoed, you say also by Yom HaShlishi and also by Yom HaRavi. You say both. That's going to be a discussion here. V'anan de'islam tre yomer, we who have 2 days of Yom Tov, heichav dinon, what do we do with this seeming clash? What do we say in our tefillah? Which karbonos do we mention in the Musaf? Abaye omar sheini yitchem. Abaye says, the sheini gets left behind and you start with b'yom HaShlishi. Rava omar shvi'i yitchem. Rava says, no, the first day of Chol HaMoed you have to say b'yom HaSheini, even though it's the third day of Sukkot. And then the seventh day, the b'yom HaShvi is going to be left aside. Tanya kava say to Rava, proof to Rava is going to be the brisa we saw before. Im chol Shabbos liyis be'echad mehem yimoytu yitchem. You see that what happens if Shabbos, in the Beis HaMikdosh, Shabbos is one of the days of Chol HaMoed, even though there's a sequence of the 6 days of Chol HaMoed, what you say on each day, when Shabbos comes in the middle, then it just pushes everything one up. And on the next day, you go back and you say what you should have said the day before. For example, if Shabbos was on the third day of Chol HaMoed, then on the fourth day of Chol HaMoed, you say the perek of Miyokum Limerim, which was for the third day. And then the seventh day, you'll say, You'll be saying Hasiroisi Misabel Shechmoy, and you might talk Moisteorats will just have to get left to the side, similar to what Rava said here. Im chol Shabbos liyos be'echod mem yimoytu yitche. Itkin a meimar benardo says de medalge de luge. You jump back, which means that what they said yesterday in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to say today. That means the first day of Chol HaMoed in Chutz Laaretz, you're going to say also by Yom HaSheini, which they said yesterday in Eretz Yisrael, and also by Yom HaShlishi, which they're saying today in Eretz Yisrael, and it's the third day of Sukkot. Continues the next Mishnah. And to understand the next Mishnah without getting confused, we'll just make a short introduction. On the first day of Sukkot, 30 korbonis, which were unique to Sukkot. We're not talking about the Korban Tomid Shel Shachar, we're not talking about the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Arbaim. We're talking about Sukkot Korbonis, special Korbonis. What were they? There were Porim, there were bulls, there were Elim, rams, there was a Sawyer, there's goats, and there's Kvosim, there was sheep, so lamb. And how many? There were 2 Elim every day. They were an Oila. There was 1 Chatos, a Sawyer, a goat, Lechatos. There was every single day 14 kvosim, which was an oila. And besides for that, there were porim. There were bulls. How many bulls? So over the entire Yom Tov, there were 70 bulls. But on the first day, how many were there? 13. On the next day, there were 12. The next day, 11. And on the last day, on Ishan or Abba, they would bring 7 bulls. So that means on day one, how many korbonos were there altogether? 30 korbonos. 2 elim, 1 soyer, 14 kvosim, and 13 porim. 30 korbonos. On the second day, there were 29 korbonos because there was 1 par less. On the third day, there were 28 korbonos, etc. That's one thing we have to keep into account. Another thing, that we know that all the Kohanim was split into 24 mishmoris. The literal translation is watches, but what actually happened was that they would have a rota. Every mishmar would have 1 week in the year. And the psukim and Divrei Yomim, they say exactly the order. We know the names of each mishmar and exactly the order, the cycle that they would come. Every week there would be 1 mishmar, and the mishmar of the next week would come before the Shabbos ending the previous week. And on Shabbos there was always an interaction between the two groups, the two mishmaris, that part of the avodah was done by this mishmar, part by that mishmar. That's going to still need to be discussed. But however, on the Sholish Regolim, it's learned from a pasuk that on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, all the 24 regolim and mishmaris would come together, and they could all serve there at once. So you have now 24 mishmaris, and they were all there, and you have 30 korbonis on the first day, 29 on the second day. How are we going to work this out? So the Mishnah is going to tell us that, and really what's going to happen is there's going to be a rota, a cycle, which means that mishmar number, we know exactly the order. You can look in the psukim, that there's mishmar 1, mishmar 2, mishmar 3, till 24. The order of the animals is first the par, first the bulls, then the ayil, the rams, then the soyer, the goat, and then the kvosim, the 14 sheep. That's how it went. And the Mishnah is going to explain to us that there's never going to be a case. That means we're going to start the cycle every day. That means it's got to be fair. It's going to go in a round circle. That means on day one, how many Purim were there? 13 Purim. Each Mishmeres was given one korban. So that's really what's going to happen, is that each Mishmeres has the rights to shecht one korban in order, according to the cycle. The problem is we have 30 korbanos and only 24 mishmaris. So there's going to be 6 mishmaris that are going to shecht 2 korbanos. And we're going to see that it's the kvosim that some of the mishmaris are going to shecht 2 kvosim, 2 lambs on one day. So that's so every given day, the cycle started with the Purim. That means on day one, Mishmeres number one brought one par. And then in order, there were 13 Purims, the first 13 Mishmaris all brought Purim. The next two Mishmaris brought Ayil. The next Mishmar brought a Sawyer. The next Mishmar, we'll have to see how many there's left. There's only 8 Mishmaris left. Between those last 8 Mishmaris, they'll have to work it out with the Kvosim, and the Mishnah is going to tell us that the first 6 of those Mishmoris will actually bring 2 Kvosim each, and the last 2 will bring just 1 Keves each, and then it's sorted. The next day, what will happen is we're going to start the Purim again, but on the second day, there's not 13 Purim, there's only 12 Purim. But where are we going to start? We're going to start counting the order from the end of yesterday's Purim list. That means yesterday, Mishmar 1 to Mishmar 13 brought the Purim. So on the second day, from Mishmar 14 is going to start bringing the Purim. 14, 15, all the way 12 Purim. It's a problem because there's only another 11 Mishmaris. So Mishmar number 1, even though it got the first par on day 1, it will get the last par on day 2, and then the cycle will continue. Mishmar number 2 and Mishmar number 3 are going to get the Elim, Mishmar number 4 is going to get the Sawyer, and then we're going to be left with all the rest, which is going to be left with 9 Mishmaris. Between them, they're going to shecht the 14 Kvosim, and the way it will work is that 5 of them will shecht 2 kvosim each, and the other 4 will shecht 1 keves each. And that's how the cycle is going to go. And if we got that clear, the Mishnah is going to be very straightforward. Says the Mishnah, Yom Tov Arishon Shel Chag Hoyushom Yud Gimel Purim. On the first day of Sukkot, there were 13 bulls, 13 Purim, Elim Shnaim, there were 2 Elim, Vesoyer Echod, and 1 goat. Nishtairu Shom Yud Dalet. If you gave 1 Mishmar in order, Purim, and then the Elim, and then the Sawyer, each Mishmar got 1. How many have you got altogether? You've got 13 Purim, 2 Elim, which is 15, and then 1 Sawyer is 16. How many Mishmaris have you got left? You've got 8 Mishmaris. So those 8 Mishmaris, so the Kvosim, the 14 Kvosim that have to be shechted, Lishmoina Mishmaris are going to be split into the 8 Mishmaris. How did that work? So B'yei Marishon, on this first day, where you have 8 Mishmoris to shecht the 14 Kvosim, Shisha, the first 6 in the list of the Mishmoris, Makrivim Shnaim Shnaim, they'll offer 2 each. That's 12 Kvosim. Vashar, and the remaining 2 Mishmoris, is Echod Echod, they'll each bring 1 Keves, and that's how all the Mishmoris have shared all the Korbonis. Besheni, on the second day of Sukkot, you have 1 par less, which means there's only 12 Purim, 2 Elim is 14, 1 Sawyer is 15. So now you're left with 9 Mishmoris to shecht the Kvosim. So what would they do? Chamisha, 5 of the Mishmoris would be makrivim shnaim shnaim. They would offer up and be makriv 2 kvosim each. So that's 10 of the 14 kvosim. Vashar, and the last 4 Mishmoris, echod echod, they will going to bring 1 keves each. Bishlishi, on the third day of Sukkot, where you've got 1 par less, you've only got 11 Purim, So now you've got 10 Mishmoris that are left over to bring the 14 kvasim. So Dalet, 4 of the Mishmoris, so Makrivim, Shnaim, Shnaim, they bring 2 each, which takes it to 8 of the lambs. Vashar, and the last 6 Mishmoris are going to bring the last 6 of the 14 kvasim. Vashar Echod Echod. Beruvi, on the 4th day of Chol HaMoed, on the 4th day of Sukkah, sorry, then you've got, you now have 11 Mishmoris that have to shecht the 14 kvasim. So Shloishar, 3 of those Mishmoris is Makrivim Shnaim Shnaim, they bring 2 kvasim each. Vashar, and the remaining 8 Mishmoris, Echod Echod, they bring 1 keves each. Bachamishi, on the 5th day of Sukkah, where you've got even a parallel, you only have 9 Purim now, so you're left with, between the 9 Purim, 2 Elim and the Sawyer, you're now left with 12 Mishmoris that need to share the 14 Kvasim. So Shnaim Makrivim Shnaim Shnaim, 2 of those Mishmoris shech 2 Kvasim each, Vashar and the other 10 are Echod Echod, they bring 1 Keves each. Beshishi, on the 6th day of Sukkos, Echod Makvdei, on the 6th day of Sukkos, you only have 8 Purim. So you have 8 Purim, 2 Elim, 1 Sawyer. You're going to be left now with 13 Mishmoris that need to share the 14 Kvasim. So Echod Makriv Shnaim, 1 of the Mishmoris bring 2 Kvasim, Vashar, and the other 12, Echod Echod, bring 1 each. Beshvi, on the last day of Sukkos, on Ishan Rabbah, Kulam Shovim, because you only have 7 Purim, you have 14 Kvasim, 2 Elim and 1 Sawyer, that's 24 in total. Every Mishmeres brings one Korban. Just keep in mind that every day that started with a Purim, where the day before finished with a Purim. Now, how many Purim are there altogether? 70 Purim. How many Mishmoris are there? 24. So if we had a full cycle 3 times, it would need 72 Purim. 3 times 24 is 72. But there's only 70 Korbonis, which means that 2 Mishmoris only got 2 Purim over Yom Tov. And all the other Mishmoris, they got 3 Purim over Yom Tov. And we'll soon see that. Bishmini, now on Shmini Atzeres, where there was 1 aisle, 7 Kvasim, and 1 par, chozru lepayas kaburagolim. On the other Yomim Toivim, not Sukkos, where all the Mishmoris were together, for example, on Shavuos, where all the Mishmoris were together, there weren't so many korbonos, so they didn't have a cycle for that would go round like this, and then they would just make a pious, everybody would come together, they would draw lots to see who was going to merit bringing the korbonos. So on Shmini Atzeres, we go back to the regular Yom Tov, not the Sukkos. That means we don't continue the cycle. We just all the Mishmoris together, because it is one of the Gimel Regalim, all the Mishmoris together, they can join the pious to see who's going to bring those korbonos. Omru, they said, Mi shehikriv parim hayoim, whoever brought the bulls today, lo yakriv lemachar, is not going to bring it the next day. Ela chozrim chalila, it goes round to the rota, it goes round to the cycle, as we discussed. Says the Gemara, Neima masnisin rebihi v'loi rabbonon. It seems that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebbe, not the Rabbonon. The Tani we learnt in the Braisa, par habo b'shmini. The one bull that was brought on Shmini Atzeres, because we said that all the other days of Sukkos, there was anywhere between 13 and 7 bulls that were brought every day. Started on 13, on the last day 7. On Shmini Atzeres, just 1. So the Braisa says, par habo b'shmini b'tchilo mefisin olav divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that you don't continue the rota. You just make a pious. The Chachomim say, achas mishtei mishmoris deloi shol shubaporim. Oisoi. That you remember we just said that the cycle of the Sukkah cycle left 2 mishmoris with only twice bringing a par over Sukkahs, and they didn't get the chance. So between these last 2, they would do a pious, and they would continue, so to speak, the cycle of Sukkos, they would continue it on Shmini Atzeres. So in our Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, B'shmini chozru l'payas kubur agolim, it seems to be following Rebbe that it's a new start, it's not a continuation of Sukkos. Says the Gemara, there's no proof. Afilu teim rabbonon, our Mishnah could even be the rabbonon, and really we do continue the cycle of Sukkos. But so what does it mean that we say that it's pious kubur agolim? Otu shtei mishmoris lo yapusa boya? Says, it's true, we continue the cycle, but that you still need a pious now, because which one of the two mishmoris is the one that's going to merit to do the paro and shmini atzeres? So for that, you need a pious. And therefore, our Mishnah could even be following the Chachomim. So when it says in our Mishnah that b'shmini chozru l'payas kibur agolim, according to Rebbe, it would mean that all the 24 mishmoris join the pious. According to the Chachomim, which is what we're suggesting now, the Mishnah means not all the 24 mishmoris, only those last two mishmoris that were missing, that didn't get a third chance to bring a par, they would join the pious on Shmini Atzeres. Continues the Gemara. Kaman oz lahodotanya, who's the following Braisa? Following, the Braisa says that Tesefta, kol ha-mishmoris shoynois, all the mishmoris, they bring two paros, umashalchois, they actually bring three, chutz mishnei mishmoris, besides for two mishmoris, sheshoynois, they bring two parim over Yom Tov, vein mashalchois, they don't bring three. So the Gemara says, name a Rebbe, v'loi Rabbonon, it seems to be Rebbe, because according to Rabbonon, there's another mishmor, one of those two actually gets the par on Shmini Atzeres. According to Rebbe, it's a totally new cycle. We just go back to all the 24 mishmoris joining a lot, joining a pious. So when it says here that two mishmoris don't get a third par, it seems to be Rebbe, not the Rabbonon. Says the Gemara, no, afilu teimer Rabbonon, it could even be the Rabbonon. My loy shilchu, when it says in the Braisa that they didn't get three poris, what it means, b'pori achag, they didn't get three poris of the sukkos bulls. But that doesn't mean they didn't get a bull for the Shmini Atzeres. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Umay kamash maron, you're teaching us to count? If you say that it's Rebbe, then it's coming to teach us that those two mishmoris are not the ones that are getting the bull on Shmini Atzeres. But if it's the Rabbonon and they are getting the bull of Shmini Atzeres, that means the cycle continues. So what are you trying to teach us? That you're trying just to tell us that on Shmini Atzeres it's a bull of Shmini Atzeres and not the bull of Sukkos? There's no, what are you trying to tell us with that? Just, that's basic mathematics. Says the Gemara, Hoka Mashmalon, exactly that's what I'm coming to teach you, that Misha Hikriv Porim Ayoim, Lo Yakriv Porim Lemochor Elochoizun Cholila, is there to teach us that there is a cycle, there is a rota, and whoever got the power yesterday doesn't get the power today. And that's what this Bryce is telling us, that the Sukkos bulls, they had a cycle that, and they had to follow a cycle that every Mishmar got two bulls, got three bulls, besides for two Mishmaris, they got just two bulls, and that one of those last two mishmoris got the bull on Shmini Atzeres to teach you there was a cycle. Continues the Gemara. Omer Belaza, Hanas Shivim Porim, we said that on the 7 days of Sukkos there were 70 bulls altogether. Keneged mi, who are they corresponding to? Says the Gemara, Keneged Shivim Umois, they were corresponding to the 70 nations. Par Yechidi Lomo, so why in Shmini Atzeres, what's that single bull corresponding to? Keneged Umma Yechida corresponds to the single nation, to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Lemelech Basav Adom, it's compared to a king. Sha'oma La'avodov, he said to all his servants, Asul Yisud HaGdeila, make for me a big meal. Le'yom Achrin, on the last day, Omer Lo'oy Havoy, he didn't say to his servant, he said to his friend, a close friend of the king, Aseli Sudaktanu, just make a little meal, just for you and me, Kadesha Enemimcha, in order that I should be able to have pleasure and enjoy your company. And Rashi says, Ainli Hanov Kiras Ruach Bishel Elu, I didn't have really pleasure and delight in the meal with all the servants and slaves. It was only Elo Bishel Cha with a friend, that's where there's a delight. And this is the Shmini Atzeres, that's this meal that we have, which corresponds just to Klal Yisrael. Omer Rabbi Yechanan said, Oy lohem lo'evdei kechovim, woe to those goyim, to those nations, she'ibdu, they lost, ve'enum yoidim ma'ibdu, and they don't know what they lost. Because bizman she'beis hamikdash kayim, when the beis hamikdash was there, mizbeach mechaper alem, the mizbeach would atone for them, and they would get whatever they needed. They would get rain, there would be rain and produce in all over the world for them. Va'achshav, but now that they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they don't even realize what they destroyed. Mi mechaper alem, what's going to atone for them? How are they going to get what they need? And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.